We've come in our journey to James chapter 4. We're getting close to the end of the journey through the Bible. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the fourth verse of chapter 4. Tonight we'll be studying the fourth chapter. But in verse 4, James declares, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." There are two opposing kingdoms that are ruling in the universe today. The kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of light and life, and the kingdom of Satan, which is the kingdom of death and darkness. These kingdoms are mutually exclusive, so that you cannot be in both. If you are not in the kingdom of light, you are in the kingdom of darkness. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, because he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." There can be no commingling between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Paul asked, "What fellowship hath light with darkness? Or what concourse or communion has Christ with Satan?" John is saying to be a friend of one is to be an enemy of the other. If you are a friend to God, you are an enemy to the world, corrupt world system. If you are a friend to the corrupt world system, then you are an enemy to God. Jesus said, "If you are not for me, you are against me." There's no place in between. There is no neutrality. You are in one kingdom or the other. You can't live in both. At the present time, the world that we live in is governed by the kingdom of darkness. Satan is the ruler of this world. Paul calls him the god of this age. Jesus speaks to him of being the prince of this world. Satan bragged to Jesus that all of the kingdoms of the world belonged to him. They were his, and he could dispense them to whomever he would. The world originally belonged to God by the right of creation. He created it. It was his. When God created man, he said, "Let us make man after our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth." And so God gave unto man this earth. He created him, placed him upon this planet, and he said, "Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every moving and creeping thing." It was God's gift to man. And for a short time, the world was ruled by man in fellowship with God. But Satan came into the garden. And Satan tempted Eve to disobey the commandment of God. For God had said, of all of the trees that are in the garden, you may freely eat, but the tree that is in the middle of the garden, you're not to eat of that, for in the day that you do, you will surely die. But Satan pointed out how delicious that looked. He exclaimed to her what tremendous pleasure and sensation she would get because of the flavor and the taste of that fruit. And then he suggested that it would make her wise like God, knowing good from evil. And Eve ate, and she gave to Adam, and he did eat. And in so doing, it was a double action. First of all, it was an action of disobedience to God, but secondly, it was obedience to Satan. Paul, writing to the Romans, said, "Don't you realize that to whoever you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you become? Whether of obedience unto righteousness or disobedience unto death." In obeying the suggestions of Satan, they were disobeying the commandment of God, and thus they transferred themselves from the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light and life, into the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of death and darkness. But then they made an alarming discovery. It was a one-way door. Having left the kingdom of God, they could not return, but found themselves in slavery to the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of death. Man had now become a slave to sin. He was ruled by Satan. And in so doing, man transferred the world over to Satan. And Satan became the ruler of this world, the god of this world. That is why it is so manifestly wrong to blame God for all of the ills of the world, all of the problems, all of the suffering. So often we hear skeptics saying, if God is a God of love, then why do we have so much suffering in the world, as though it was God's fault? The suffering in the world is not God's fault. It is the fault of man who rebelled and continues to rebel against the authority of God and the law of God. If the whole world were living subject to God and to God's law, it would be a perfect world. It would be a world without suffering. It would be a world without death. It would be a world without wars, without strivings, without envyings, without all of those things that create strife between man and man and nation and nation. But man rebelled and continues to rebel against the authority of God, and thus we reap the consequences of that rebellion in the social disorder and chaos. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In just a few days, we'll be celebrating again that glorious event when God sent his Son into the world to save the world. John goes on to say, he who believes in the Son is not condemned. But he who doesn't believe is condemned already, seeing he's not believed on the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men will not come to the light because their deeds are evil and they love the darkness rather than the light. And so the world is living in the kingdom of darkness, but they seem to love the kingdom of darkness. James is warning us that to be a friend to the world makes you an enemy of God. Paul the Apostle, when he was talking about the commission of Jesus Christ to him, he said the Lord spoke to him and said that he was sending him to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among those which are sanctified through faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ made the way for man back into the kingdom of God. It's interesting, it was by the tree that man left the kingdom of God to enter the kingdom of darkness. And by another tree, man can leave the kingdom of darkness and enter into the kingdom of light, the cross of Jesus Christ. The way has been made for man to come back into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "I am the way." Today, we have to make the same decision that Adam made. Will I live in the kingdom of light and life, or will I live in the kingdom of death and darkness? And the choice is mine. God has given to us self-determination because he created us in his likeness. And being a self-determinate being, I can make my choice and I can choose, thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, I can choose to live in the kingdom of light and life, the kingdom of God. Or I can choose to rebel against the kingdom of God and live in the kingdom of death and darkness. God has given to each of you that choice. James tells us, friendship with the world is enmity with God. And if you become a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he that hath the love of the world in his heart hath not the love of the Father. Now the world is very attractive. It is very appealing. The world appeals to our flesh. Even as Eve saw that the fruit was just so delicious looking, when she tasted it, it was just sensational. It was so delicious that she gave to Adam that he might share and eat also. It was appealing to the pride of life because it was promised that it would make them like gods, knowing good from evil. The world does appeal to our flesh, the desires of our flesh and of our minds. The world promises sort of pleasure, instant type of pleasure. And many people are allured by the world because it does seem to be so attractive, so exciting, so pleasurable. But yet, if you stop to really think it through, it is real folly to choose the world above God. You see, God's love for you is a true love, and God is only interested in that which is best for you. And when you choose to follow God and to love God, there is nothing that will take place in your life but what God has allowed it for the best for you. God has your eternal destiny in mind, and he wants you to spend eternity with him in his kingdom of light and life. Satan has your destruction in mind. He only wants to allure you in order that he might destroy you. And though the fruit of that tree of which Eve ate was delicious, very pleasurable, very exciting, yet the end result was death. As the scripture said, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, for death passed unto all men. And we see today the dire consequences of their leaving the kingdom of God to enter the kingdom of darkness. Now, it doesn't make sense to choose a little pleasure for the moment and the suffering of eternal torment. It does make sense to maybe suffer a little sacrifice now in order to have eternal glory. To suffer a little persecution for Christ's sake, a little scorn perhaps from the world because of your faith in Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, oh, blessed are you when men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He said, rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Paul said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh an eternal weight of glory. Paul said, the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. The wise man will always look at the long-term consequences of the decisions that he makes, and he will choose the long-term benefits over the short-term gain. If I take this path, where will it end? That is the question that a foolish man never asked. He just begins on that path of sin, not considering the consequences, the end result. Solomon wrote, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Jeremiah the prophet wrote that the prophets are prophesying falsely. The priests are bearing rule by their means, and the people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end thereof? What will be the end result? False prophets, they're telling you that everything is rosy, everything is great, everything's going to be wonderful. And the priests are bearing rule by their means. And the people love to have it so. They say, well, you know, the economy is prospering. So what difference does it make that there is moral corruption in the leadership? The people loved to have it so because they were opting for the temporary benefits over the long-term disasters. And Jeremiah was warning them that the choice that they were making was a foolish choice because it was going to bring destruction. The good days will not last. You cannot ignore God. You cannot ignore the moral integrity and strength and hope to prosper. And Jeremiah was right. And though they had momentary prosperity and an upturn in their economy, it wasn't long until they were slaves in Babylon. Isaiah said, "Woe to him who strives with his maker." An enemy of God. That's what friendship with the world will bring you. It'll make you an enemy of God. It will bring you enmity with God. It will make you an enemy of God. How foolish can a man be to strive with God? You see, you're in a no-win situation. Because if you do win in striving with God, that is, if you continue in your rebellion, if you refuse to surrender, then you've really lost forever. Jehoshaphat was a king over Judah, and he was a good king. He had initiated spiritual reforms, and the nation prospered under his reign because he was basically a good man, a godly man. There was a horribly wicked king up in Israel, the northern kingdom. His name was Ahab, and he was about as bad as you get. Evil, wicked man. Sometimes there seems to be some kind of a strange fascination with evil. And Jehoshaphat was sort of fascinated by Ahab. He went up to Samaria to visit him. And as they were visiting together, Ahab said, "I'm going to go out and battle against the Syrians. You want to go with me?" And Jehoshaphat said, "I am one with you. I will go and my men will go with me against the Syrians." And so as they went out, Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "I want to get right into the battle myself. So you put on my robes and you ride in my chariot and I'm going to go incognito right into the battle." So Jehoshaphat put on his robes and was riding in his chariot, but he didn't know that the Syrian general had said, "Look, we're not interested in battling against the troops. We want the king. Go after the king." So they saw the king's chariot and they saw Jehoshaphat there in the king's robe, and they began to chase after that. And of course, they began to flee, and Jehoshaphat was frightened to death as he was fleeing from the Syrians. And we read that there was a Syrian soldier who just at a venture pulled back and just shot an arrow towards the camp of Israel. But the arrow struck King Ahab, and he died that evening as the result of that arrow. Jehoshaphat headed back to his capital in Jerusalem, and when he came back, the prophet came out to meet him, and he rebuked him, and he said, "Should you help the ungodly, and should you love those that hate the Lord? Therefore, the Lord's wrath is upon you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He who has the love of the world in his heart has not the love of the Father." The sin was loving those who hated the Lord, trying to be a friend to the world. James is calling them here adulterers and adulteresses. This is using the terms in a spiritual sense. You see, they were supposed to be married to the Lord. They were supposed to be in love with Him. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." The first commandment said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." God is to be supreme. Your love for God is to be supreme. It's to exceed all other loves. Their problem was that though they loved God, it was a subordinate love. There were other things that they loved more. They loved pleasure more than they loved God. They loved their possessions more than they loved God. God was there, it was part of their life, but He was subservient, as far as their love was concerned, to the other loves, the other interests that they had. And that was their sin. They had a love for the world because it offered them pleasures, it offered them the material things. And James is saying, you're an adulterer, you're an adulteress. You don't realize that the love for these other things has superseded your love for God. Don't you realize that friendship with the world is enmity with God, and to be a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God? In the scripture that we read this morning out of Isaiah 1, God called Israel to reason this thing through. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Basically, God is saying, come on now, let's think this thing through. When I was in third grade, the teacher used to often pose a question to the class, and then she'd say, "Now put on your thinking caps, you know. Think it through. Think about this." And that's exactly what God is calling. Come on, let's reason together, saith the Lord. He gives a diagnosis of the unreasonable things that they were doing. As he diagnoses the problems they were going through, "These are the unreasonable things of which you are guilty." God said, "I have nourished and brought up children who have rebelled against me." That's an unreasonable thing to do. It's biting the hand that feeds you. To rebel against God is unreasonable. Because actually, you owe to God your very existence, as Daniel said to Belshazzar, the very God in whose hand your breath is, you've not glorified. They were not considering the long-term consequences of their actions. God said they're not considering. And so often when a person begins in a sinful practice, they don't stop to consider the consequences of these actions. I deal with people all the time who began in a flirtation. They were married, but they started just messing around with a flirtation because it was appealing to their egos. They didn't stop to consider the damage that it would do to their family, to their children, to their home. And so many, many families have been destroyed because people didn't stop to consider the consequences of this folly. Just a moment's pleasure and excitement because of the flirtation. A little bit of the ego building, but they don't consider A person starts drinking socially and he doesn't consider the possible consequences of becoming an alcoholic. They take a drug because someone has sort of suggested that it gives you an interesting high, and they don't consider the consequences of being strung out on heroin. God said, they have forsaken me and provoked me to anger. Now, I would like to suggest that that's not very sensible, to get God angry with you. And then God said, they've become morally sick. They're sick in the head. They're sick throughout their whole body. There's no soundness from the top of their head to the bottom of their foot. They're just sick. Sick, sick. And then God offers a prescription for their cure. He says, clean up your act. Put away your evil and start doing that which is right. And then God said, if you will do this, you can have the good life. Come now, God said, let's reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, you can be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, you can be as white as wool. Let's reason it out. Let's think this thing through. This is the offer I'm making to you. You can leave the kingdom of darkness. You can come into the kingdom of light and life. You can become a friend of God and live in his kingdom. Jesus said we should pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth, even as it is in heaven. Oh, how we long to see the kingdom of God. How we long to see righteousness rule and reign over the earth. How we long to see the kingdom of death and darkness abolished and God's glorious kingdom come. Are you an enemy of God? Don't you realize that if you try to become a friend to the world, that makes you an enemy of God? Which kingdom are you living in today? To what authority have you bowed your knee? Which kingdom do you serve? You cannot serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. Your choice. Shall we pray? Father, help us to make wise choices. We thank you that you have given to us the capacity of choice. Making us in your image, you've made us self-determinate beings. And we can choose to live in the kingdom of darkness, or we can choose to live in the kingdom of light. But Lord, help us to consider the consequences of living in the kingdom of darkness and the glorious rewards of living in the kingdom of light. And Lord, we pray that you would deliver us from the power of darkness and bring us into the glorious kingdom of your dear Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? This morning, the pastors of the church are down here in the front to pray with you and to pray for you. If God has spoken to your heart today and you recognize and acknowledge, I've had a love of the world and it's taken away from my love for God and alienated me from God, but I want to just really have a real love for God and put him first in my life. I want to live in the kingdom of God. I want to live in the kingdom of light and life. I would encourage you, just come on forward, and they're down here to pray for you and to minister to you this morning. So as soon as we're dismissed, rather than leaving, come forward and get things right with God. What a great time of the year to do so. the time of the year when we're celebrating the fact that God did love us and made the way for us to go from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of light.